This episode is brought to you by Visit Ithaca. Ithaca, New York boasts an authentic craft beverage experience, tasty farm-to-table culinary adventures, and scenic outdoor recreation among 150 waterfalls. Plan your trip today with help from visitithaca.com.
This is Jimmy Carboni, the host of Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I've been a part of the HRN community for 10 years. After all that time, I'm constantly inspired by the incredible voices of our network. Each week, I record my show in the HRN studio because I'm excited to bring you, our listeners, the most important stories from the world of beer, food, cider, and more. All of us here at HRN make food radio because we love it. This year, HRN is celebrating its 10th anniversary, but we need your support to keep food radio going strong for the next decade. Join the HRN community today by becoming a member. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate right now. You can even show some love for my show by selecting Beer Sessions in the designation drop-down menu. Thanks for listening to HRN. Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, guys, I'm Jimmy Carboni. I'm the host here at Beer Sessions Radio. Today is Tuesday, July 9th, 2019. Guys, I'm losing track, and I'll tell you why I'm losing track. It's been like 10 years since we started the show, and even before that, back in 2009, a bunch of beer bar owners got together and created this thing called the Good Beer Seal, and we're kind of honoring that today, bringing it back. You know, it's really important, the presence of independent craft beer bars and independent retailers is a really important part of the revival of craft beer and just good hospitality in the city. And we're going to talk more about that because we used to talk about it a lot. There's so many great breweries with tap rooms in the city, but there's nothing like, you know, an independently owned beer bar or just a good bar or a little restaurant, and I really believe in that stuff. So check out goodbrewseal.com. Next week at the New York City Brewers Choice event, we'll be celebrating with a number of the Good Brew Seal All-Stars, some of the bars that have received it over the years, and a bunch of new ones, including Beer Wax, which is in Prospect Heights, Brooklyn, and one of our long-standing member bars is the Bronx Beer Hall. So, guys, introduce yourself. We got a couple of the Good Beer Seal bar representatives here.
How you doing, Jimmy? It's an honor to be here again. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having us. Chris Maestro, the founder and proprietor of Beer Wax in Prospect Heights, Brooklyn.
It's great. It's really great having you on again, Chris.
My name is Andreina. Hello, everyone of the podcast world. I work at the Bronx Beer Hall. I'm the buyer and the GM. I do it all.
So bringing everything back up to date. So back in 2009, there are these old school independent beer bars like Blind Tiger, Spite and Dial, Jimmy's Number 43, and a number of others. And it was like the beer bar thing was just really starting. The whole craft beer revolution was happening. But now since 2014, you know, with the big change in New York State, you know, craft brewery licenses, there's a lot of tap rooms in the city. And it seems like more and more the focus is for tourists and other customers to go to breweries and drink. But you guys have unique places. So I want to talk a little bit about each of your place and what's special about it. So Chris, let's start with Beer Wax. A little backstory. You've got definitely Japanese inspiration.
Yep.
You're quite a unique spot.
And to start us off, a lot of folks come to the bar and ask, well, you know, we understand the beer, B-I-E-R, we spell it the German way, but they don't really understand what the wax part is unless you understand vinyl and are a record head. Wax really has been terminology for records. So it's just a very simple way of combining in a name the two things that I really love most. So it's really been a long journey for me. I've been a record collector since I was 19. The first record that I bought with my own money was a Wes Montgomery and Horace Silver record up in college. I didn't even have a record player yet, but I figured it was $3 a record. It was like a good investment. So I bought these records. Many years later, I got into craft beer. I wasn't drinking beer in college yet, surprisingly. Hello, sir.
And Joel, just introduce yourself. Just walked in.
What's up, guys?
How are you, sir? So Joel Suarez.
Joel Suarez from the Sampler Uptown Beer Society.
All right. We just gave a little intro about the Good Brasil bars, and Chris has just given us a little intro about what's unique about his spot.
So from the records, eventually I became a DJ, and once you're a DJ, the goal is to try to acquire as many records as you can. So I just amassed a rather large collection over the years, and now it's about 6,000 to 7,000 records, not just up on the main floor of Beer Wax, but also in the basement. And now I've taken over the upstairs of Beer Wax. So we're going to have a record shop upstairs basically it's my apartment upstairs. Let's call it my apartment. But we're going to have regular office hours for, you know, to buy records upstairs. So, but then I was on a trip to Hong Kong. So I know we're going to get to Japan soon, but I want to just touch on Hong Kong for a second, because that was the first time that I had a beer that really struck me in a way that really changed my life. It was Semi Klaus. So it was a friend took me to a cigar lounge and felt that a good pairing with the cigar
this
was...
A number of years ago.
This way is back. 2004. At the time, Semi Klaus was known as the strongest beer in the world, and it was on the label it said that. It was like 14.5 ABV. But I had two, and I was pretty much halfway drunk. So it was a big revelation for me to have two 12-ounce bottles when I was used to drinking Heinekens and Coronas and be semi-twisted. But beyond that, it was the flavor of that beer, having a Doppelbock for the first time and having something that was much more, you know, flavor forward than a lot of the beers I had been drinking was just like set off, you know, a real an idea in my head. And the idea at that point was I've got to come back to the city and try to find beer that tastes like this. So I was trying to find Semi Klaus. I was trying to find other beers that were similar. So I was, you know, led me down a rabbit hole of trying a lot of Belgians. And there weren't that many beer bars around at that time. Blind Tiger was around, but there were only a few. So it was hard to find beers that were different, that were flavorful.
And then fast forward, though. So your inspiration is Japanese places.
Yep.
So what are the Japanese bars that inspired you? You said there's places with records. Give us a little of that flavor.
So I had this idea of trying to combine my passions. And a friend of mine said, well, actually, there's a place like this that exists already in Tokyo. I said, what? And he took out his phone and showed me on Instagram, like, here's a picture. And I was like, holy shit, this is exactly from my dream. And it exists already, which is a beautiful thing. But then at that point, that became the inspiration because I had kind of a language and an image for what I wanted to build in New York City. And it really is modeled after what's known as jazukisas or jazz cafes in Tokyo or throughout Japan. And there essentially are bars or cafes that have very large collections of vinyl. And the owners or whoever works there will just play typically jazz records from the collection. And at that point, I said, this is exactly when I want to start in New York City.
Yeah, well, welcome to the Good Brasil, man.
Thank you.
You've got a special place. I know that when people say I'm going to Prospect Heights, what's the exact address of your spot?
556 Vanderbilt Avenue in Prospect Heights.
Great. And Andreina, so yes. Bronx Beer Hall, Paul and Anthony, they've been in the Good Brasil for a number of years.
Yeah, I remember when we got it.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this?
You guys
and he was like,
the
it's
Bronx
the Good
Outpost.
Brasil. And I was like, oh, great. That has to be good.
Well, we're expecting a lot more from you guys. That's what we're trying to do this year. But just tell us about your role. I mean, so one thing great about independent small businesses is that you were a bartender, and next thing you know, what, you created your own job.
Yeah, I became a buyer. I was actually kind of a regular there. It was hard to find it because it's in the Arthur Avenue retail market. There's no awning, but I like that because it's like, if you know, you know. And so I went in there. I needed a job, and they hired me. And after some time, I was like, can you just like let me buy stuff? Because I drink beer all the time and I go out and I go to all these events and like I was really on the pulse. So I was just bothering them like, just let me do this. Let me do this, please. Just let me buy beer. Like I promise, like I will curate the most amazing tap list always. And now I am 4 years later. Here I am. You know, I'm still doing that. I'm running it. Basically, it's really nice. You know, I feel like whenever I put on an event, it's like an art show, like I'm putting something on. And when I see the reception, I think the reception is the best thing for me just because, I mean, I also don't look like I run a bar and I drink craft beer. So that's even better. It's always a surprise when people see me and they're like, wow, that you picked all this? And I'm like, yeah, I did, actually.
What do you have on tap right now that you're really proud of?
Oh, Bronx Dance Party, the collab with the Sampler.
Shout out Bronx.
Yeah, shout out to the Bronx. We did it for a hardcore show festival that we had in June. And I'm really proud of that because the band that it was inspired by, I actually love them. And I've been loving them since I was 15 years old. So when I heard that, you know, my dream was to always put that band at the bar, have them perform there. But they like broke up and got back together. It was just like really messy.
What's the name of the band?
Daily's Gone Wrong. Okay. Yeah, it's a hardcore, but yeah, ska punk.
They like brought everybody in the Bronx together. Yeah. Whether you were a ska kid in Throgs or emo kid on Fordham, like you would all watch this band.
And the fact that we were able to get them to collaborate on a beer, I was like, this is crazy. Oh, awesome.
And the fact that Barrier like supported us in putting this collab together.
So
was awesome.
So talk about that. So Joel, you've been a big part of stirring the pot on this. Last year you guys did El Prez collaboration. You came in the winter. Mm-hmm. One of our top shows was the Dead Prez show. You brought Chris was here, Bronx Beer Hall, a number of guys. So tell us about that collaboration. Barrier, working with a band.
I mean, it's been an incredible year. My whole mission statement was to always support independent craft beer and then through that find some leverage to kind of start collaborations. Interboro was the first one with all of us that are here and Bar 180 and 177 Beer Works Bronx Beer Hall and the Sampler. And then it was, you know, we wanted to do another one because Jesse saw the reception was so amazing. So we spun that into the dark lager because on the Caribbean you have pilsners, light lagers, and amber lagers, really. So we did those two. And then
that was my favorite beer last winter.
Thank you.
It was really great.
And then we got a great opportunity.
Partly because of the style, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Vienna lager for winter. Yeah.
And then we got an opportunity to become the official bar partners of Monica Art Fair, which is the biggest contemporary art fair in New York. Huge artists were there. And I hit up Jesse and I was like, what do you have conditioning right now? I got an artist called Skewville that could do the label art. And he's like, well, we make Premiere all year. Would you like to do that? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So Uptown Beer Society, the Sampler, and Monica Art Fair and Skewville was the artist that did it because we were the official bar partners. And then we got the Barrier one done shortly after in June through a huge show in the Bronx at the Point CDC.
Awesome.
12 bands. Yeah. We gave all free vendor tables to local brands and even movements. They had all tables. They made
some
money.
We ran out of beer.
We kicked beer.
It was tragic.
Oh, yeah.
We sold
the show
four
wasn't
packs.
Even over.
We had a liquor license, temporary liquor license.
I was like, sorry, no more beer. People were like, what?
It was great. And then.
But tell me what role did the band play in that Barrier beer? Tell me about this Barrier beer. The Bronx Dance Party,
yeah,
right?
Bronx Dance
That's
Party.
That's what I want to hear about.
Yeah. Bronx Dance Party is a song that they wrote called Bronx Dance Party.
It's like a ballad. It's like a hardcore ballad.
Yeah, it's like ska, reggae, hardcore, emo. It's all these elements that was what makes the Bronx beautiful. The Bronx is known for hip-hop. We all lived hip-hop, but we all kind of didn't all listen to hip-hop. We kind of more were into like punk and metal and hardcore and stuff like that. So there was a thing called Bronx Underground, which had three different venues in the Bronx, two in Throgs Neck, at First Lutheran Church, one on the water, Ambits, and The Point. And they would throw shows every month. Yeah, so this was something that kept us going. Like as a small, you know, punk community, we skated kind of, and then we went to shows, and this kind of kept us like off the street and into trouble. So that kind of faded over the years, and hip hop kind of elevated, and like trap music and all this stuff was what the kids were listening to. So we wanted to bring that back through this collaboration. So we chose everybody that is Bronx based or Bronx influenced that still like does punk shit. So like Bronx Beer Hall, Brewski's Bar and Grills in the heart of Throgs Neck, where all this started. And then Uptown Beer Society and the Sampler. And we did a dry hop kosh with Tet Nang and Falconer's Flight. And we released it at The Point. And the brewery sold out. And we sold out. And the bar sold out.
And
a
I'm
few
all
other
done.
Places took, a few other places
I'm all
took
done
it.
As of yesterday.
I saw it on Beer Shop
so
in Upper West.
So it's a kosh style.
Yeah.
It's called, what is
Bronx
it?
Bronx Dance Party.
Dance Party.
With
Bronx
the band That Has Gone Wrong and all the bars that I mentioned. Just wanted to make something
made
drinkable.
By Barrier.
Yeah, by Barrier Brew. We all went up there.
And you helped make it there.
Yeah. And we just brewed El Prez again. It should be done by early August. And we just locked the collab with Highway Manor in Pennsylvania.
Ooh, nice.
Hopefully all you guys are down. You guys
it.
Are all invited for the collab.
Well, I love the spirit of what you guys are doing. I'm going to change the subject for a second. So the Bronx, the rise of the Bronx. I'm bringing politics I know that AOC, her district includes the Bronx, doesn't it? It's Bronx
it does.
And Queens.
It actually gets cut off right where the beer hall is.
Yeah. Wow. But
yeah,
still.
Yeah.
And the next year is going to be the mayor election in New York City. I know that there's a, I think it's your borough president is a strong candidate for mayor. Tell me about the Bronx. Like, what's the rise of the Bronx? Is Bronx really going to become a player in New York City politics and culture?
Yeah, I mean, the Bronx is the epicenter of everything cool. It's like the only borough connected to the United States of America. Everything is
mainland.
Island. You know, it's one of the only counties. It's just, you have to know. And people that don't know, they want to they like to shit on the Bronx because they like the Bronx. It's because like, they don't know.
It's like coming to Brooklyn today, I was like,
Brooklyn was like that 25
far.
Years ago.
This is really, like, and I live in the middle of the Bronx.
Like, ask her. We always had to, like, travel for clothing, skate
products, everything.
Music, all this stuff. Like, and no one would want to come. But, like, we have the original, you know, Little Italy, where her bar is at. You know, we have the Bronx Zoo, the Botanical Gardens, Yankee Stadium, the team with the most rings of all time. We have Riverdale, which
Van
is Hasidic
Park.
Jew. Van Cortlandt, the first golf course in the United States of America. Like, we have all these beautiful gems. We have, if
Chris,
you look
I
at the
like
patches,
we're missing out, man.
If you look at the patches of grass on the map, we
we're
have
super
so
green,
many,
yeah.
like, green. Like, it's just, you know.
City Island. Oh.
City Island, which is a nautical, seafood, Throg's Neck, which is Italian and Irish, and they have yachts in their backyards
they do.
On the
Morris
water.
Morris Park, like, if you get off the train and
Morris
you walk.
Morris Park,
to
Ronnie
the-
from Jersey Shore, fucking Al Pacino. There's so many people from the Bronx, like, that people don't know. Tracy Morgan, there's neurologists, there's all type of people from
Rashida
the Bronx.
Rashida Jones was born in
people
the Bronx.
People just leave. That's the fucked up part. People just go and don't come back and build within their borough. And I want to see more people coming back and, like, focusing on education and community building. I see a lack in that. It's like they make it and then they use the name, and then even Cardi B and French Montana, like, what are they doing for the borough? You know what I'm saying? They're using it for marketing, but what are they doing to contribute?
You know, I'll tell you, back in 1992, it was my first beer buyer job. I worked at a place in Union Square in Manhattan, and we wanted to put on a line of Brooklyn lager. And at the time in Manhattan, the owner said, we don't want to put anything on that says Brooklyn. So see how far Brooklyn's come. So it's probably the same with Bronx, right? Where Bronx is really a lot more is happening than people realize. And you guys are doing a great job promoting. Let's talk about this beer for 1 second. Chris, you popped this. So this is what beer is this?
This is KCBC and Roberta's collaboration, Pizzagate 2, Margarita's Revenge.
I love that rice lager so much.
let me have a little more of this. When you were talking about your barrier collab, the Kolsch, made me want to drink a Kolsch, but I'll drink this rice lager too.
Absolutely.
So Joel, I want to give a big shout out to you. Again, with the collaborations you're doing with the indie beer bars, your Uptown Beer Society, the El Prez and Dead Prez collaborations, really inspired me, made me realize that, you know, the Good Beer Seal was legitimate and a lot of people respected it. So next week we'll be at this event, July 17th, New York City Brewer's Choice. But tell us about the bars that you nominated, because you gave me a short list of places that are kind of newer. And
yeah, I felt like it's not only about just buying craft beer. It's about also community building. I feel like there's a lot of also people of color bars like Harlem Hops, Beer Wax, Bronx Beer Hall, The Sampler, et cetera, which are not only focusing on independent craft beer, but also in the community and also elements of hip hop and like giving their spaces and bringing people into craft beer. That's most important. Like. Yeah. Oh, it's great to sit around and talk about hops and different beers and breweries in New York, but it's more important what kind of what we focus on, and that is touching every person in the community and making them feel wanted and being inclusive and just bringing them into the craft beer game. And I feel like that kind of list, I want to add a little bit to that list, but I feel like that list is strong in that. Creative events, you know, doing fundraising, doing like Bronx Beer Hall alone is like crazy what goes on there at night. Like, just like epic. Like historical DJs, like all type salsa bands, like just create things that are so out of the mix of craft beer.
And you don't even know it's there because we don't have an awning. So you really just have to know about it.
So what's something cool that just happened?
Something cool that's happened. Emo night.
Emo.
Love that. Amazing. That's really cool because, I mean, I guess I was emo when I was younger, but it's really cool to see that group of people is still, they're still alive and they still want to enjoy hardcore and they want to enjoy it in our space where we only offer craft beer. And it's crazy because people walk in there and they wouldn't expect that we serve that. But then you have these kids who are like, you know, 21, 22, who, you know, don't drink beer and they walk in there. And I mean, it's been crazy successful. I mean, every single emo night we've had has been a packed house. At least 300, 400 people in there. It's been insane. But also seeing Pete Rock, that was awesome. Because I saw him back. I saw him a few years ago at the Blue Note. And then when I saw him, I actually saw Chris there. I ran into him. We were at capacity. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, man, what's up? It was crazy. And it was amazing to see somebody like that perform at Beer Hall and be around craft beer and be around people that love hip hop and people of color and just everyone. It was awesome. It was great.
What, 400 people?
Yeah, 400 people. I had to sneak people in. Yeah.
And they don't have spirits. So you have to drink craft beer. Or wine. And it's usually all these people are having their first beer experience right there.
Hands. Yeah. And that was truly amazing. Like I stood in the center of that, like, because we turned the back into a concert hall. I stood in the middle and I was like, this is awesome. Like this gate's so down. Cool.
Like if you guys haven't been.
Like you walk in there and it smells like meat, but it smells like beer. You don't know what's happening, but then just follow the hip hop and you'll eventually be led to a good place.
And then on that note, Large Professor, just an amazing legend, will be spinning on Friday at Beer Wax. So to have these folks that are just legends in hip hop in a very intimate setting, a little more intimate because we're smaller, but you can just walk right by the DJ and walk by the person who essentially discovered Nas, which is really amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Tell us more about the programming you're doing at Beer Wax. I know the other night you had the beer trekker, Miguel Rivas.
Yeah, was guest there, bartender. Guest bartending.
And he brought in, what was it, a Spanish brewery?
Yes.
Was it from Barcelona?
Yeah, from Barcelona. They shared their beers. They actually had a beer. They really focus gross on the label art. And they had one particular label that you could only really see the image if you spin it on a 78 RPM record player.
What?
Wow. So they asked me, do you have a record player that spins in 78 rotations per minute? I'm like, at first I said no, but actually I do, because we have an antique one that my uncle sent up from Florida. And it actually is one of these crank ones that you crank up to, and it's like from the 1920s. So we put the beer, the can, on there. It was on our stories.
I think I saw. I was like, what are they doing down in Beer
Wax? It was crazy. But you'll see the image come to life once it spins in 78 rotations per minute. It was pretty amazing. But yes, it's great to have, you know, things like Miguel come in and guest bartend. The one thing that I'm really proud about is, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure how many other bars are able to do this, but we've been able to really host a lot of fundraisers for nonprofits. We've had about 10 over the past year, and 4 alone for Puerto Rico. And obviously, we all know that after Maria, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And we have one coming up next week, which is on
What's
Tuesday.
The date?
Tuesday,
this July 16th.
Exactly. So, you know, so as much as we
can. At Beer Wax, there's a Puerto Rico fundraiser.
There's a fundraiser coming up. And it's for particularly for an organization that works with children with varied abilities to try to raise money for young people that are quote unquote labeled as disabled. But the organizer likes to call these young people as with varied abilities. So we do our best to try to you know, host a lot of events, not just music related, not just craft beer related, but for anyone that wants to have a home to raise money.
Cheers, man. You guys are doing, you're all doing the right thing. Man. And you're right, Joel. It's about,
step it
it's
up,
about
breweries.
In your own community. There's no cookie cutter beer
I'm
bar.
I'm saying,
or,
like, we do know. A lot. And, you know, I see these breweries using culture and not really giving back. So I want to see more of that.
Shots.
And back to Chris. So, Chris, again, the whole DJ, I want to hear about your day to day. You were telling me before about the work you have to do just to keep up, you know, your turntables. Just like a day in the life of Chris.
A day in the life. Opening up the coffin and taking the turntables out every single day. We don't have an actual DJ booth. So it's a lot of work that goes into programming DJs every single day. We have from Monday through Wednesday what we call Beer Wax Radio. So you can stream and listen remotely to whoever's spinning, usually between 6 and 8 or 7 and 9. But we'd rather have those people come in and have a beer and hang out and witness the DJ live. But it's great that people from Japan, people from Germany are able to stream what's happening at Beer Wax pretty much almost every day.
And where is that through? Just Beer Wax?
It's actually through Periscope.
Periscope.
Periscope. It's an app on, you know, your mobile device. And then you just search for Beer Wax Live. And then you can just follow us. And then anytime a DJ is spinning, it'll send you a notification. And then you can watch them.
That's cute.
So that's, you know, that's one thing. It's, you know, there's a lot. I don't even know where to start.
How many turntables do you have?
We have about 6. Because there's always one that's broken. So we have one now in the shop. Shout out to DJ Fix in Williamsburg.
Great name.
Always one that's broken. But the fact that our turntable is getting used so much, it's just bound to happen that at least like once every couple of months we have a turntable that has to get repaired, or a mixer that I brought in today, a mixer to get repaired. But it's been an amazing thing to see people, as Joel mentioned, that are not necessarily craft beer fans come to see Large Professor or come to see Easy Mobi, and like, you know, we'll ask them, a bartender will ask them, well, what kind of beers do you like? And they'll mention, oh, we like light beers. We always have a Pilsner on. We always have some kind of lager on. So of really trying to match what someone that's not a craft beer fan, match their palate. And hopefully maybe eventually try to, you know, have them. There are a lot of sours that we have that are sours that are on the juicier end that sometimes people get surprised about. Yeah. So
that's always the fun part.
20 years ago, my bar, it was skateboarders from the Lower East Side hung out there, and they were drinking Jack Daniels and Stella, and the same kind of thing. We started getting in Belgian craft pills, yep, and turn them on to. But we're going to take one short break, give a little message, and we'll be back in a minute. Perfect. On Beer Sessions Radio. All right?
All right. Good to see you.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Ithaca. Located in New York's Finger Lakes region, Ithaca boasts an authentic craft beverage experience, tasty farm-to-table culinary adventures, and scenic outdoor recreation. As the saying goes, Ithaca is gorgeous. The city is home to 150 waterfalls and gorges sprinkled through its downtown and sloping hillsides. State parks and acres of natural lands offer outdoor recreation for every level of enthusiast. Come stroll among the cool ravines, scenic hiking trails, and natural vistas. Ithaca is home to Ivy League Cornell University and Ithaca College, resulting in an influx of new cultures, new tastes, and new energy every year. There's so much to explore, from art galleries and museums to unique attractions like the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Ithaca sits at the heart of a blossoming heritage and craft cider industry. Some of these delicious ciders can be bought in market, but many of the most unique varieties can only be experienced with a visit to Ithaca and this great cider region. Go to visitithaca.com to get inspired and plan your trip today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey guys, one of the benefits of being an independent craft beer bar, Good Beer Sealed Bars, is that we get a lot of special treatment. You know, a lot of breweries want to launch beers with us, or, you know, have us preview something that you typically get in a larger establishment. And we just got a special preview beer in the mail from Sierra Nevada, and Chris has the info. What's the beer, man? It looks really good.
No, this is looks great. This is actually from the North Carolina brewery, Sierra Nevada. So this is their Oktoberfest. This is 2019. So we're gonna crack it. Well, we cracked it open. So let's see what it tastes.
Yeah, we got a mug. If we're gonna do a giveaway, if you can go to Instagram, it's @beer_sessions, Beer Sessions Radio. If you can. What's a good question for someone if they want to win a glass, Sierra Nevada glass? Adreina.
Oh, Andreina, man.
Andreina, what would you ask?
What was the first Sierra Nevada beer released?
That's good one. That's a all good right. One.
Yeah.
So whoever sends the that on Instagram.
Ever? I don't know, but someone knows.
You know, you're going to win this glass.
Google.
That's a good question.
All right. So cheers, guys. So cheers to the Oktoberfest. Thanks for pouring there.
Sweet.
Cheers.
Andreina.
Yes.
You were saying you're interested. You like... What happens when you convert someone into craft beer?
Yeah, so it's always fun when someone walks into the bar and they're like, let me get a Corona. And I'm like, man, I don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Close to what Chris was talking about earlier, yeah, about like trying to find something. So I always keep a lager on. I always keep a Pilsner, an IPA. You know, I keep it real broad.
Mm-hmm.
But then those people start coming in and then they're like, I want a juicy IPA. It has to look hazy. If I don't like the way it looks, I'm not going to drink it. But it's awesome because I have this, shout out to Mitch. I have this regular who, he's an older Puerto Rican man. He can care less about anything, but he has to have his Grimm.
Wow.
Like if I don't have it, he's like, oh, well, I mean, what's the best next to that? And this guy used to walk in and he didn't. I mean, this guy's a booze guy. Like, yeah, he doesn't drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
And so through the years, I have unknowingly converted him into a snob. But I love it because he comes every single day and he checks out everything that I have. And no matter what, like, he is like the most loyal regular in the world. Wow. But I mean, that was only possible because I was able to introduce him to beer that he's never had, but that he loves. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's been the most rewarding part of everything.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. I have a story, too. So Uptown Beer Society was a group that was formed uptown to bring awareness to Harlem, Washington Heights, Edward, and the Bronx. And we host a lot of bottle shares. So every year we host a bottle share on City Island where we give, each person gives $40 to the fisherman's boat and they drive out and they give us the whole middle and we get to crack shit and have a good old time. So shout outs to Ty Jamar. Ty Jamar is one of my boys. He came, he brought a six pack of Blue Moon and a six pack of Angry Orchard to this bottle
share.
I
thought this was fake. Share. I
didn't know this was real. No, this
is a real story. I was like, you're lying,
and
right?
Like, I'm like, bro, thank you, but I'm like, I tied the bag and like brought that shit under the table because everyone has crowlers and these big format aged bottles. But, you know, long story short, a year later, he's Cicerone certified. He's working at Randolph and Five Boroughs. All through a simple bottle share, all through a simple invite, all through some simple education. So, you know, it's not only about putting people onto craft beer. It's about getting them enthused and giving back jobs to the community. So that's an important, and, you know, shout outs to Ty for that because he really took it seriously and he's moving up in the game.
And he's still real serious about it, which is pretty cool, yeah.
And then, Chris, back to your story. So way back, what was the first beer you had that really turned you on?
Semi-Klaus.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Doppel, but for me, it was the same thing. I was never a beer drinker. I liked booze and I liked wine. It was Doppel, German Doppelbox and Belgian Triples that did it for me.
And the other gateway for me when I came back was, goodness gracious, Blue Point's Blueberry.
That's the only thing you could get on Art Ave before Bronx Beer Hall.
Oh, yeah, and Peroni. Yeah.
Shout outs to Michelangelo's.
So, we're talking way back. This is like 2005, so...
Right. Well, cheers to you guys.
Cheers.
It's nice having you guys. So, good beer still, whatever it is, it's like Uptown Beer Society. I just love that you guys are bringing small beer bars together and, you know, sense of community. Tell me more about the projects, man. I love these beer collaborations that you're doing because they're also really good beer.
Yeah, man. It's just about making approachable beer. Some we've done spuns, like the Fifth Hammer beer we did in March, called Biscocho. It was a Spanish cake IPA, delicious. Which we all brewed in this room.
Delicious.
Alongside regular girls of color that don't work in the industry.
Which was awesome. Day, right?
Becerra was there. She came through the show, love. Taproom 307, Roberta, which was one of my first mentors in craft beer. Just everybody. People, Ash from Whole Foods. Just a ton of people came through and we made a oat cream IPA.
With guava and pineapple.
With pineapple and guava.
Like Dominican
it was dry hopped, with guava and vanilla beans. And it had lactose and all this stuff. And that was brewed on Women's International Day and released like a week later. The collaborations are simple. I connect with these breweries. I have these relationships. And then I want to bring all my people with me. That's what it's about. It's about just, you know, putting the work in. And, you know, it's a promising sale for a brewery anyway. You know,
so then each of your bars gets a certain amount of
whatever we want.
Kegs or
sometimes, well, this year it's been like 4 can releases and the rest were draft only. Like our KCBC collab was draft only, the Fifth Hammer was draft only, and the rest were cans. And then the Highway Manor one will be bottles and draft. Mm. So we're trying to we're thinking of Caribbean fruit right now to incorporate in this sour.
So the Howie Manor is going to be done in Pennsylvania, obviously.
We're
going to drive take
out
a trip
there.
Out there.
Yeah,
okay.
We're all going to take a trip
sick.
Out on
that,
the road.
Doesn't he do more sour beers?
Yeah, he does only sour, saison, farmhouse stuff, aged in oak, and all type of spirit barrels. So Johnny's
Chris,
crazy. I love
Chris, you were telling me about a beer that you tried made with lactose. What was that? The orange
Morir Soñando, my other half.
Yes.
Boo.
But talk us through that.
I love Morir Soñando, so
I haven't tried it. Of course you love it.
I haven't tried it.
Yeah.
What
is, well, I know this is a touchy subject right now, but the idea is that, you know, it's a typical Dominican, Puerto Rican drink. It's orange juice and milk. And sometimes some people actually put condensed milk.
Yeah, my mom uses carnation milk. She makes it the best.
So it's sweet. typically. Yeah. So other half tried to reverse engineer this Morir Soñando to die dreaming, right? Is in you know to translate it, and to reverse engineer it, obviously, you know, an IPA with lactose, some maybe vanilla, but definitely, you know, getting some of that orange from the hops. And I brought it to seal this beer because you had to bring to that podcast two beers for them to blind taste test. And they loved the aroma. And then when they tasted it, they said that it tasted like children's vitamins. Like orange flavor, like Flintstones. And I was like, oh, you know, actually it does. But I also brought it. I wasn't a big fan of the beer because I don't necessarily, I don't like IPAs with lactose, just generally. But I do think that other half nailed, in terms of reverse engineering that particular beer, exactly what, you know, Morir Soñando was like. But we can get into the backstory, or maybe we don't have to, but that's a little bit on...
Why was Joel so...
Because I came up with the concept, and they completely left me out the collaboration. So I have this disease, which I talk to people about my concepts, and then they go and do it without me, which is kind of hard.
So are they trying to vaccinate you?
I mean...
I'm encouraging you.
Don't vaccinate Joel. I don't know what's going on, but to me, if you're going to make a Dominican beer or an idea that I came up with, you should involve me and the whole collective to make it stronger and more beautiful and bring awareness to the community. Not just steal culture. Like, it's almost like these guys are getting hired at breweries and just passing the culture down to the brewery and not involving the community, which blows my mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but my other question is, why do you want to make a beer like that, a lactose beer, that tastes like orange juice and condensed milk?
Well, I wanted to make that beer because I grew up on that, and that's
I understand
us.
That.
Like,
I mean, it's delicious. My mom used to make it for me all the time.
I understand, but why do you want that to be a beer? Like, I like like the Vienna lagers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going
way back
there?
To basic styles.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Me
if
too,
anything,
I'm
I
want
to drink lagers, Vienna lagers, yeah. Doppelbock.
But it makes sense for other half to make a beer like that.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
So
because yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're from uptown, so they made a chopped cheese beer. You know,
they made a chopped cheese beer.
Yeah, jokes. They did.
Tell me more about it.
I haven't tried it.
I like a little.
But I was like, chopped cheese. I was like, this is a sandwich.
What is a
burger.
Chopped cheese for listening audience? Cheese.
It's literally chopped Chris. Hamburger.
A chopped cheese is basically an affordable sandwich that you would get from Harlem Heights to the Bronx.
Too.
They would take a frozen beef patty, break it up on the grill, throw American cheese or whatever cheese you want, and let it melt, lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, ketchup. It's kind of like a Philly cheesesteak of uptown.
Yeah.
And it was $3 for a hero of it, so everybody in the hood could afford it.
That's amazing.
And then when the sampler opened, that was the first sandwich that we launched there, kind of giving, you know, big ups to, you know, half of the staff came from the Bronx, so we wanted to embody that. And then a year later, I don't know, somebody made a beer.
So they made a beer called Chopped Cheese.
I wonder where they got that idea from.
Well, you know, you gotta sometimes you're inspiring people, and it's nice when you can give them credit, but. Sometimes, you know, you also know that maybe you did inspire them.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm down for all that. It's just like, involve me in my shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it.
Well, cheers to you guys, man. Keep talking.
So, I'm going to pour some more of this.
Everybody's quiet. Like, I do not endorse this. Don't cut my allocations
off. Listen, you know what? Although all that is happening, I love that Dominicans are being represented in the beer
industry.
I think it's so great because, I mean... Like, when I started working at Beer Hall, I was 22. I was a Dominican girl. I was into beer, and everyone was like, "What? Why are you dedicating so much time to this?" But it's something. It's a craft that I really enjoy. I love it. I love the New York City beer community. Oh, my God. I mean, I think about living anywhere else and being in this industry, and it wouldn't be the same. Like, the New York City beer industry, everyone's just so awesome. We're so cool.
What I think is, I'm hoping I didn't cut you off.
No,
but I want to just piggyback on that.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
It's amazing how big New York City is. But yet I feel like the industry is so small and pretty well connected where you see people at events and there's nothing but typically a lot of love between folks and a lot of support. So I really appreciate that. And there's a lot of folks that I always look forward to seeing that are really just beer friends. So I just wanted to like piggyback.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, who wouldn't love walking into a room and just being hugged by everyone? Because everyone's like,
exactly.
Oh my God, I love yeah, you know, especially for me, because I'm all the way in the Bronx. So whenever I make it out here, it's like, oh my God, she came. She's here. Yep. So, I mean, I love that. And again,
just,
being Dominican.
I don't think that craft beer guys have to be big white guys
they
with
don't.
Beards.
They absolutely don't. I'm a
bellies,
crappier girl,
you know?
And I'm short
no,
with
no,
an afro.
None of you guys have bellies, so.
All right, a little bit.
But I think the whole thing is, you're talking about the Bronx. I'd like to talk about the politics. I feel that New York, if you look at the numbers, New York is a Latinx city.
Yes.
You know, it's people of color, but it's really a Latin city. And I love that because this is what, when I was younger, I would go to, you know, Spanish restaurants with you know, Cafe con Leche and
Shout out Caridad.
This was simple. You know more, but, you know, this was, to me, that was the life of the city. That's what kept me in New York and saved me were the Latin places, because there was no other life to me that felt real. And I think that, like, Italians coming up and everyone else, every generation of immigrants coming in, Jews and Italians and as Latins, talk about that, because that's really what this is about. It's about the future in New York. You guys are it, and you're living it. So
yeah, I'm happy for. Did you want to say something?
I just want to jump in really quick, because I just had a thought related to what Joel was saying earlier, and Jimmy, what you mentioned about the Bronx coming up. My only fear is that in the Bronx coming up is that it turns into Brooklyn, and it becomes a whole different place that you don't even recognize. So that you mentioned that you appreciate the, you know, New York City. And it being, you know, Cafe con Leche, and I just don't want to see that be erased in any kind of new New York that may happen in the Bronx. That's it.
Same, man. I just feel like it's up to us if we're getting jobs in the beer industry, which is great. A lot of people of color are getting hired, not to just hand over the culture, like bring awareness, say, hey, maybe we should donate proceeds to Puerto Rico since we're making a Coquito beer with a San Diego brewery that has nothing to do with Puerto Rican culture. Maybe
I like
we
Coquito
should,
too. So.
Exactly. Maybe we should donate to the Dominican community. Maybe we should source fruit from this fruit stand. Maybe we should involve these people. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to stir up no hate. I'm full of love. I'm just saying, let's do more for our community if we're going to use culture and community, because we're not seeing the benefits. That's all I got
to
say.
Well, let's bring it all back to the importance of small independent businesses. Last year, I was at a rollout of a small business plan. It was to provide legal assistance. It was a good program to provide free legal assistance to small businesses regarding leases. And that was a big step for the city to do that. But the study I was given presented out of the people in New York City, the number one employer of people are the sector called small businesses. So it's not Amazon. Yeah. It's not any big. It's not Google. It's small businesses employ more people than any other industry in New York City. And that's what you guys are here doing, and that's really the fabric of the city that I find most interesting. It keeps me here. You know, when I was sick last year, I walked around my neighborhood. I could go to my local pharmacy. I can go to my local cafe. I can go to my local, you know, other stores where I know people. And there's nothing like having the owner or the manager that you know. And so just cheers to you guys. Cheers. I'm not as articulate as I want to be, but that's why you guys are here. So sum it up for me. Tell me your favorite local business. It can be a beer bar or something else that people should know about because it means something to you. It could be something when you were a kid, something.
Everything from when I was a kid is gone, so.
Shout out Gyro King.
Well, what's left?
Yeah,
shout out Full Moon.
Full Moon.
What's left now? Something that... Or it might just be another beer bar. Because I think the beer bars are definitely carrying the torch of independent businesses.
My favorite beer bar in the Bronx is obviously the Bronx Beer Hall.
Same.
But small business in the Bronx Napoli on East Tremont. It's the pizzeria. That entire block has changed, but that pizzeria is insane. And I haven't been there drunk, but soon come.
Wow. Chris is ready.
I'd say a place that I used to go to very late at night as like a teenager to have the most delicious sandwiches called Cherry Valley in College Point. And I used to go there not even realizing that now I know the family that owns it, which is actually a Dominican family, which we had no idea back when. But they make incredible sandwiches, especially at 3 a.m. It tastes really, really good.
Shout outs New Morris Deli on Matthews Ave in Morris Park, home of the chopped cheese, chicken and peppers. Ask for Alibaba sauce, ask for peanut butter jelly sauce. They make the best deli sandwiches with Boar's Head ingredients in New York City.
Where's that?
New Morris Deli on Morris Park Ave and Matthews.
Okay, all right. I can take the bus there.
All right, well, cheers to you guys. What's my contribution is Alphabet City Beer Co., Avenue C and 6th Street, East Village. owned by Zach Mack. That's that to me. That's a local business, a new local business. Beautiful. So you guys have been great, man. This is really cool. Anything else we want to sum up? Joel, stuff coming up. You got
stuff coming
collaborations,
up.
Prez, parties,
early August, everywhere. Highway Manor, probably October. We're brewing in September.
So who's gonna have El Prez?
We added new bars, actually.
So I want to hear the list of bars. It'll be out the first week of August.
All right, it'll be the alumni staff, which is Beer Wax, Bronx Beer Hall, The Sampler, Uptown Beer Society, Bar 177, Bar 180. We added Taproom 307, Locksmith, and Harlem Hops, yes, which have employed and done stuff for the Dominican community as well. And that's it.
That's great. Well, that's going to be the beer of the summer, guys. Yeah, great, man. Great work. Chris, anything else? Who's spinning next? Any guest DJ?
I mean, the
guest
next big one I can mention is Lodge Professor on Friday. Tickets might be sold out at this point, but you can walk in and try to get in. $10 at the door. And then tune into Beer Wax Radio, Periscope, Beer Wax Live.
We have an art exhibit this Friday, too, at the Sampler. Iconic 2, highlighting all graffiti characters. So pull up.
Awesome. So we are actually going to be providing beer for the Kerry Leeds Tennis Center. It's a tennis court in Crotona Park in the Bronx. Yeah, and we're going to be there all month of July. Venus Williams is going to be there. So, you know, pull up. But yeah, so we're going to be there all July serving beer at the Kerry Leeds Center, which is awesome because I've been going to Crotona Park since I was literally a kid. So you it's pretty fucking cool.
Just I want to shout out to Bronx Beer Hall to Paul and Anthony Ramirez. Are they brothers or cousins?
They are brothers.
They're brothers. Okay.
So brothers.
Those guys have been part of the Good Beer Seal almost since the beginning.
Yeah.
I really respect them. And anytime I don't know that much about the Bronx, but anytime someone asks me about the Bronx, small business, politics, anything, I'm always like, you got to talk to Paul and Anthony in the Bronx. And they do a great job of representing, and they've really got their hands in everything. So shout out to you guys, Bronx Beer Hall.
Thank you.
Congratulations, guys. Chris, one more thing.
Pie Culture. A great friend of mine, Guy, is starting this pop-up pizza company. So he's debuting his pizza business at Beer Wax on the 20th of this month. Around 4 o'clock, and his business is called Pie Culture. He's gonna have about maybe 60 pies, individual pies. Amazing. I've tried them all. They're incredible. So come to Beer Wax on the 20th, and you're really in for a treat.
All right. Good. Everyone, thanks for joining me. Joel, one more thing.
Nah, just was getting close to the mic. I don't know why.
Shout out! We got Joel. Joel, close us out, man. Tell us something.
You already know. Follow Beer Wax, the Bronx Beer Hall, the Sampler BK, Uptown Beer Society on Instagram. Also, Beer Sessions Radio. The Good Beer Seal is back. Check out all your local independent craft beer bars for the seal. Shout out
Dominican.
Right. Dominicano, you got the salad.
And everyone that has a bar.
Thanks, Andreina, Joel, and Chris. Thanks for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. Big shout out to our producer, Justin Kennedy, engineer, Matt Patterson. I'm Jimmy Carboni. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Yeah.
Woo.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.